Good afternoon, and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined for this afternoon show by my co-host, Mike Yakubik. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Joseph.
Let us begin, as we always do, with our prayer to St. Michael. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Michael.
I got to tell you, Joseph, that was our third take on St. Michael the Archangel, and we say it every day. And it's something, though, you know, your mind is triggered to do one thing, because in our case, when we say it at church, we say, be our defense.
Yeah.
And here it's be our protection. And it kind of gets your mind going one way or the other.
Yeah, all messed up. Yeah.
And a big thing, I think, Joseph, is our minds aren't as good as they used to be.
That part's true, too. But anyway, I guess state convention's coming up here pretty close.
Yeah,
Joe know, the, and his deputy grand knight are going to be going down to the, King of Prussia area, I guess, Philadelphia area for the state convention.
Yeah, and I think, this is a good thing for grand knights. If you get to these conventions, and I'm not going to lie to you, all conventions are boring because you're going to hear reports and you're going to hear, this and some of the stuff you know. But the nice thing about conventions is when you walk away from the formal aspect of it,
yes,
and you get to talk to the DDs from other areas and you get to talk to the grand knights from the other areas, you can really and truly learn a lot.
The networking part
of it.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, socialization and the networking.
You learn so much because you can find out that, when I was state program director, I used to send out, and I wish I could remember the gentleman's name, but I don't. He was from the Northeast, but he had one of the best district deputy newsletters I had ever seen. I think it was actually better than Nightline, which is the state newspaper.
Yeah.
But he put out every little thing that their district was doing. And what it allowed to happen was it would be just like in our area.
Sure.
If you went to St. Joseph's, you would know exactly what the council was doing at Elizabeth Ann Seton. You would know what they were doing at Good Shepherd. You would know what they were doing at Catherine Drexel. And it made it really easy to get maximum attendance at everybody's event.
Yeah.
Because if I come to yours, you're probably going to come
to
mine.
It's a reciprocal
thing.
Yes, it
is. And it was so good for fundraising. And it also showed the unity and fraternity of our organization. It really did. And I suggest any Brother Knight that's going to the convention, and even if you aren't able to go for the whole thing, if it's not a bad drive, and from here it's not a bad drive, go down for the afternoon. Get a couple of your buddies, hop in the car, go down, spend a couple of hours there, turn around and come back home.
Yeah.
And you might find out it's beneficial to you. You know, when you talk about unity and fraternity, I got to tell you, Joseph, I thought it was really a great event that was put on with Father Wade. I mean, as far as a speaker goes, he was outstanding.
Yeah.
Bishop Gaynor was there, he's outstanding. I think it was just a good all-around time, and I think one of the things that made me feel good was that so many people recognized the ladies for what they do and what they do for the Catholic faith within the Diocese of Harrisburg.
Yeah. We're talking about the owners of our station
yes.
here, yes. We're talking about Betty and Leona, yeah.
They're doing an outstanding job, and, I guess from a perspective of is, a lot of times when you see CEOs and everything, all you ever do is you just see them sitting around and, that's it. Everybody else does the work. But these two ladies are out there signing people in, passing or selling the chances.
They horsewoggle my wife and they're doing it too, but that's okay because she said she was happy to do it.
That's what I mean. But everybody's, they're working. And I think that's a tribute to them and to what they do for Central Pennsylvania, especially for those of us in the Catholic faith. So,
we've been on the air. I'm going to lose track. I think I've been here 12. I think we're going into our 14th year. I think, and it's amazing that when you realize 10 years before that, they were raising funds to purchase a radio station, mm-hmm. and radio station license and all the other periphery that's necessity by the rules of the FCC, all that, you know, legal stuff you have to go through. They were doing that for 10 years before we pushed the button on the air for the first time. So, yeah, they've been around a while.
Yeah, and it's a tribute to their dedication. So and the only reason I'm mentioning this is the fact that, you know, it was really a good time at the meal. And I hope that next year we have more people attending. I know it seems a little expensive, but when you're talking $100 to go out and hear a fantastic speaker, and we've yet to have bad speakers.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you get lucky, because if you're going to have Bishop Senior there or Bishop Emeritus Gaynor there, you're going to hear more good speeches. And I think it was a good time for everyone.
Yeah, the food was good. The speaker was good. We had made some new contacts as far as, you know, people that came to the dinner. Apparently, the one couple, they lived down in York, and they started listening on the podcast because one of their brother knights down there said, "Do you have this app on the phone?" Uh-huh. You know? Yeah. So it's the little nuances. Yeah, it's bit by bit, it's gotten a little better every year. The speakers have always been good. But, yeah, as far as crowd size, yeah.
And we had Father Saad there, our chaplain, yep. for the ministry here. He does an outstanding job. He's always fun to be around. I don't think that there's anybody. I listen to his homilies every chance I get on YouTube, and I don't think there's a better homilist for 3 minutes than Father Saad. He's able to take those, whatever the gospel of the day is, he condenses it down and makes you feel like you're living part of the Word of Christ. So I think it's really good, and I enjoy it. And I enjoy a lot of the other ones. We have so many good priests in our diocese, and that's the one nice thing about communication. You can go on YouTube, and you can find just about almost every priest in our diocese during one of the Masses. It may not be the daily Mass, but it could be the weekend Mass, and you get to hear their homily.
Well, Deacon, we were just talking about before we started recording, Deacon McAllister, is it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's going to be ordained in June, correct?
Yes, he is, yep.
And we'll have to get him in here.
Yeah,
because we've known him from RSVP right on through. You know?
Yeah, and he's been doing a good job at St. Joseph's because of the fact that with Father Rosman out, you know, sick, well, it makes it a lot tougher on Father Roth. And we've been bringing in Father McFadden actually celebrated Mass.
Okay.
And he's retired. He celebrated the 8 o'clock Mass last Sunday. But it gives It gives Deacon McAllister
soon to be Reverend Father
an opportunity to. He's doing more of the homilies, and he's getting involved more and more. You know, in
the day-to-day operation of the parish. Call it a baptism by fire.
Yeah,
I mean, but he's a good young man, and he's going to make a wonderful priest.
Yeah, I told him. I said I was joking with him during the Easter time. They had him play the part of Judas. You know,
they didn't.
Yes, they did. And I told him, I said, Deacon, it won't be so bad. I said, once you become a priest, I said, you can make some other deacon be Judas. And then the very next day, they had him on Good Friday. He read the part of Pontius Pilate. I mean, you know, that's one of the problems about being, if you're not on top, it all kind of rolls downhill.
The pecking order thing going on there, you know? Yeah.
So, It's really a good guy, and whoever gets him to be their parochial vicar, I would believe in the beginning, they're going to be really lucky.
Yes, they are.
And I agree with you, Joe. I hope we can get him on here. You know, we have the thing coming up in May, you know, with the fundraising, and we've got some really fantastic people here. We're going to have Bishop Senior.
Naturally,
fantastic. We're going to have Bishop Gaynor. We're going to have Father Sawicki. And I'd like to be able to get us, you know, get maybe a couple of the deacons, maybe Deacon Prey, maybe Deacon McAllister, see who else we can get on for an hour, see if they can give up their time. They're busy.
Yes.
Because, you know, this is going to be in May, and what we're talking about is June is ordination. So we're going to have...
They are definitely going to be busy prepping for that, yes.
There's a lot coming on, but we'll see if we can sneak one or two of them in here for an hour or so.
And just so everybody knows, our annual pledge drive is going to be May 13th to the 16th, that week. We're not going to be interrupting One day it'll be in the morning, the next day it'll be in the afternoon. We're going to alternate like that because we don't want to be interrupting a whole bunch of our EWTN programming or our local programming any more than we have to. But this is something that needs done every year, right, so we can balance our budget and you know, keep the radio station on the air. That's one of the deals that we have to go through.
So if you're a member of the council out there, you know, think about helping. It's a great opportunity to do it. Like I said before, there's so many things that we do that at a council level that if we just put a couple of bucks aside, you know, if you do it once or twice a year, you can end up giving $100, $200 every year. And we have 72 councils, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, if you take $100, that's $7,200.
Yeah.
You ain't got money coming in. So,
which would be a nice gift or a nice donation to us from the various councils. I know some of the councils have done and are going to do a pancake breakfast or a Lenten fish fry or a bingo, whatever the case may be. Just one event, and whatever they take in, they're going to donate to Holy Family Radio. And that, quite honestly, ladies and gentlemen, is what's keeping us on the air. Help us to balance the budget month to month and year to year.
Yeah, well, I think I think it's this Sunday. You know, we have the men's conference Saturday, which will be airing this show during that time period. But we're having the men's conference on Saturday, and I think Sunday Our Lady of Lourdes is doing a breakfast for behalf.
Yeah, I know
of,
that's upcoming. I think you're right.
And I think they're doing a breakfast for Holy Family Radio, and then at the end of May, and I already have some people looking to get tickets. We're going to be doing a bingo at St. Joseph's School at Life and Education Center, and we'll be doing that for Holy Family Radio.
Well, thank you for that. We're getting up against the clock, Michael, on our hard break here. The music is starting to play in my ears. So how about we go to a break, and we'll come back and get into some more right after these messages. And welcome back to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined for this afternoon's show, as usual, by my co-host Mike Yakubik. And where are we going to go next here for discussion?
Well, you know, one of the things that you had mentioned, Joe, was state convention, and actually you were talking about the Night State Convention. That's kind of how we went, you know, forward with that discussion. But also what's happening this weekend is the Columbiettes of Pennsylvania will be having their state convention, and they're going to have it up in East Stroudsburg. So we're kind of lucky. Jolene Dodson, who's the president of the Columbiettes in the state of Pennsylvania, she's going to be a speaker, and she's going to be on our show next week.
And we're going to do that via Zoom because she lives
out of
the area. Yeah.
So what we're going to hopefully do is Jolene will come on and tell us a little bit about what happened at the state convention. I don't know. I know that our state officers are always invited.
Yes.
So I don't know if Michael's going to be able to attend or not. A lot depends on his schedule. And I don't know if they're bringing any of their Supreme representatives down. But, you know, if you're a Columbiette, we wish you a very successful state convention and hope that everything gets done the way that you want it to and that you can grow within the state of Pennsylvania. And to my brother Knights out there, it's worth your while, you know. From, I think one of the two of the proudest things that I did in my tenure as Grand Knight was work to start the Squires, and the first one was to bring Columbiettes into as our auxiliary at St. Joseph's, because the ladies have done a fantastic job. They raise money, they give to so many people on behalf of their charter chaplain, which was Father DiBurcio. They have a scholarship going up to the seminary that he graduated from because he was older.
Yes.
You know, so you don't normally don't see the older priest, with the exception of, I can't think of his name, I could see his face. But anyhow, he went to Mount St. Mary's. Most of them go to the one in Alabama or the one up in Massachusetts, which is for older men, yeah, you know.
That have a vocation. Or yeah. It's versus going in at 30 or 35 versus, you know, yeah, our young priests that are being ordained that are in their mid to late 20s.
Yeah. And so they give a scholarship up there to an older priest. So that, you know, they do so much. They run our our Christmas festival at St. Yes. Joseph's, which is a big money raiser for them. But it's also a great opportunity for local craftsmen to get their word out and get to show their items coming in for Christmas. And it's really nice, and it's a good time to be helped by all.
There you go. It's all good stuff. We're just paying it forward, whatever term you choose to put on what the Knights, what the Columbiads right. do. We're just paying it forward. It comes in one hand, it goes out the other, and we do good stuff with it.
Yeah, so, you know, not stealing any of Jo Ellen's thunder when she'll be on here next week, but brothers, you can't beat it. You know, you know how much our wives do for us, and just imagine having them work as your partner as a Columbiette.
Yes,
for your,
yes.
It's just fantastic.
You know what, quite honestly, a lot of our wives are there when we're doing these fundraisers uh-huh. and stuff, and they're helping out. They're just not members of the Columbiettes,
right.
but they could be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the nice thing about the Columbiettes is that it's they do the same thing that we do, a lot of prayerfulness, and it just, I think it's just a good organization, and if you have the opportunity to join, do so. If you are a Grand Knight, start one up. You really and truly can't beat it.
There you go. Trying to get their attention outside the studio. There are other sometimes hosts here on the radio station, because we're in studio today recording, are around, and I'm trying to get their attention to come in here and join us for the last few minutes of the show. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier for us. I can guarantee you one thing. Our best shows are always when we have a guest on, or if we have everybody in here, because you have more thought process and different things, you know, are happening, and you are positive.
Exactly.
About it.
You know, we were talking about Deacon McAllister earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the only one being ordained a priest this year? Or
no, there'll be four, God willing.
Oh, God willing. Thank you.
I know. Trying to think. I can see their faces, but I know.
Yeah, you're like me. I see the faces, and I can never remember names.
We have Deacon still. Michael Prey.
Okay.
Deacon McAllister. We have Deacon Drew. I always have trouble with Drew's last
name. Is it Amar?
Yeah, I lost it. I hope that everybody could hear us. But
The mics were good. I just turned the earphones down. Yeah, inadvertently.
So we have, those are the three that I know, Deacon Drew, Deacon McAllister, Deacon Mike Prey. I think Deacon Drew's last name is Tarugi, something like that. I have trouble with it. And I know him. He was at St. Joseph's for a while. Really good guy, and I cannot put my hand on the fourth individual. So I apologize, Deacon, I truly do.
Yeah.
But we at St. Joseph have been very lucky. We've had a lot of good deacons come through. We have Deacon Aki, which is our, you know, full-time deacon, and he does a lot. If you go back a few years before he retired, Deacon Peruso was an outstanding deacon. And I think one of the things that we're so lucky in this diocese is that we have men stepping up. We have Rudy Geisler right now, who's training for the deaconship to be a permanent deacon, and we wish him and we pray for him every day that
the whole class,
and hopefully that they all make it. And but it's so, I'll tell you the truth, when I talk to Rudy and other people, it is really a grueling thing to do. I mean, you must be dedicated to our faith, and you must be dedicated to the parishioners in the Diocese of Harrisburg to even attempt to do that.
Because it's a lot on you and a lot on your wife. Yeah.
So it really and truly is something.
Well, excuse me, I'm burping coffee here.
That's what you get for drinking coffee.
Well, you know, we all have our idiosyncrasies, for lack of a better term, vices, whichever you want to put term you want to put on it.
Well, drinking about the coffee, the segue, I just heard that Bill Belichick has never had a cup of coffee in his life.
No.
I had that on the news today, yeah. And they said that, you know, and they were talking to him, and they said, we've heard you've never had coffee. And he said, no, I haven't. He said, I drink tea energy drink juices. He says, so in the morning he has orange juice or he has tea, but he's never had coffee.
That's
so when
wild.
You mentioned that, yeah, it
that's
is something.
Wild.
So I'm assuming he was never in the military, because I think in the military
we lived on coffee.
We lived on coffee.
We never cleaned the pots either, you know?
Yeah,
we just
well,
kept making the
that was the problem. I used to drink so much coffee, I had it after I got done drinking, I'd pop Rolaids to keep my stomach settled.
There you go, there you go. But they, we were, you know, a lot younger and a lot sprier back there, and you could tolerate a lot more of that caffeine.
Well, that was the thing, you had the coffee and the cigarettes, and
yes.
then the Rolaids to settle your stomach.
So and when you were out TDY or out in the field someplace, you had the C rations,
yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were talking about that the other day, as a matter of fact, so any of you veterans, if you can remember when we'd open up the C rations and you'd open up the candy, and he's had that chocolate bars around.
Yeah.
And they were so old, because if you were in during the Cold War period, you were still eating C rations from the 40s.
World War II. Yeah.
And you'd open them up and the candy would start to turn white.
Yes.
No, it was not white chocolate. It would just turn white. The other thing is, remember you used to get those little four-pack of cigarettes?
Yes, yes.
And I am not joking you to use individuals who didn't have the opportunity or the fun to be in the military. When you lit one of those Lucky Strikes, they were so dried out that you could feel the flame hit the back of your throat when you inhale, trying to light it
with
the
match. We can't
make
this stuff. We have fun with it. You can't make
this
stuff up.
This is real. I think that's one of the things that, you know, out there, pray for our veterans and pray for the people who are in the military right now. I just looked at something, and I know these numbers are going to be off a little bit, but not that much. I think something like during World War II, it was something like 40%. Of all people served in the military.
Yes.
During the Vietnam era, it was something like 11%. And right now, we're down to less than 1% of the population that actually serves in the military. And these men and women are doing a fantastic job, because if it wasn't for them, we would not be here. So keep them in your prayers. I mean, you know. And,
with all that's going on right now in the Middle East, and you know, it's over in,
Yeah.
Ukraine, it's not a pretty thing. Yeah, a lot of Hail Marys will help.
No, and I'm glad that we have men and women who are willing to step up and protect this country, because without them, we would not exist.
Amen to that, Michael. Amen to that. Have a couple of minutes left here before we wrap up. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I just saw something else on our bulletin board here for the Pro-Life Federation.
Okay.
And they have some outstanding speakers, and they're going to have Pete Hegges. So if you ever watch Fox News, he's on the weekend show. He is a veteran, and it kind of segued into what we were just talking about. He is a veteran. When you listen to him talk, he does explain that how much our military has done for us, and also how much we owe our veterans. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, if there's two things you can do, is support the Knights of Columbus, because they support so much. And support any organization that supports our veterans, which the Knights do, but so does Tunnel to Towers, and so do so many other organizations out there, Wounded Warriors, the DAV for Disabled American Veterans. You know, I know it's hard sometimes, you know, especially during the economic times, but if you can throw a $5 bill to them, you'd make them really happy.
There you go. And the other thing is the VA hospital down here in London, Pennsylvania. They're always looking for donations of stamps, letter writing materials nowadays, which is, you know, there are individuals down there, male and female, that may never leave that hospital.
Yeah.
So all the toiletries and the stamps and letter writing, stuff like that, they really do appreciate. So if you're in that area down there, or you happen to be, you know, in a drugstore or something like that where you can pick up some toiletries, take it down, take it in, and drop it off there to one of the volunteers inside the lobby, and they'll gladly see that it gets where it needs to be.
Yeah, and then, you know, what you just said, postage rates are up. It's a big advantage if you can help them out.
There you go. There you go. Michael, one more minute and a half, give or take.
Okay, let me see what we can talk about. Pray for all of us.
Yes.
I looked at some documentation that was going through on Catholic Loop and a few other places, and, you know, we just had a bishop stabbed.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We have the faithful in Africa are being persecuted beyond belief. Here in the United States, we have the FBI and other government agencies looking at Catholics. And I can guarantee you this is no different than the Holocaust, because if they come after the Catholics, they will come after the Baptists. And if they come after the Baptists, they'll come after the evangelists.
Yeah.
And it will never stop. And we have freedom of religion in this country, and it's a very important part of the Constitution. So keep everybody in your prayers.
There you go. If you're Catholic, pray the rosary. If you're a Christian, just pray. Yeah. And pray for this world in general, because we're right now, I think, it's in a really bad place. So with that, along with Mike Yakubik, I'm Joe Murphy. Thank you for listening. Stay safe out there, and God bless.